जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे,
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 77। नयस्य साक्षात् भव पद्मजादिभिः रूपं धिया वस्तुतयोपवर्णितम् मौनेन भक्त्योपशमेन पूजिता प्रसीदतामेश सात्वतां पतिः। नयस्य साक्षात् भव पद्मजादिभिः रूपं धिया वस्तुतयोपवर्णितम् मौनेन भक्त्योपशमेन पूजिता प्रसीदतामेश स सात्वतां पतिः। नस्य साक्षात् भव पद्मजादिभिः रूपं धिया वस्तुतयोपवर्णितम् Na, not. Yasya, of whom? Lord Sri Krishna. Sakshat, directly. Bhava, by Lord Shiva. Padmaja Adivihi, Lord Brahma and others. Rupam, the form. Dhiya, by meditation. Vastutaya, factually. Upavarnitam, could be explained. Maunena, by silence. Bhaktya, by devotional service. Upashamena, by finishing all material activities. Pujitaha, one who is so worshipped. Prasidatam, may be pleased with us. Eshaha, this. Saha, the same personality of Godhead. Satvatam, of the devotees. Patihi, who is the maintainer, master and guide. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Present here now is the same supreme personality of Godhead, whose true form cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. May that same personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of his devotees and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service, and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. Purport. Lord Krishna is not properly understood even by such exalted personalities as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, what to speak of ordinary men. But by his causeless mercy, he bestows the benediction of devotion upon his devotees, who can thus understand Krishna as he is. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yash chashmitatvatah. No one within this universe can understand Krishna in truth. But if one engages in devotional service, one can understand him perfectly well. This is also confirmed by the Lord in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 1. Maya sakta manah partha yogam yunjan madashrayah asam shayam samagrammam yathagnya sishita chunu. Quote, now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. End quote. Lord Krishna himself teaches how one can understand him perfectly well without a doubt. Not only the Pandavas, but everyone who sincerely accepts the instruction of Krishna can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. After instructing Yudhishthir Maharaj, Narada Muni prays for the Lord's blessings that he be pleased with everyone and that everyone become perfect in God consciousness and return home back to Godhead. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Understanding Krishna is one thing. Trying to work with his material energy is a whole different thing as well. Most persons find it very difficult to even fathom how the material energy works. And once they have sufficient knowledge of that, then they progress towards understanding Krishna. And material energy always doesn't work. This preamble is to say that my car broke down this morning. And I was thinking, you know, you take it for granted, you open the door, you sit in the seat, you turn the ignition on, and vroom, you're supposed to start. But it didn't work. So then I had to somehow get Himangi's attention. She had to leave the kitchen, drive me back home, pick me up, come here. So things are always, unpredictable in that sense. And this is just Vishnu Maya, the external energy. So one who cannot grasp even how Vishnu Maya, that shadow energy works, cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, that's far away. In today's verse, it says, Yasya, na yasya, sakshat, bhava, padmaja, adivi. This is bhava and padmaja. Padmaja is one who is born in a lotus. Who's that? Lakshmi Devi. So, and Brahma is also called Padmaja. What's the difference? You know? No. Padmaja and Lakshmi is also called Padmaja. The difference is Brahma is called Padmaja and Lakshmi is Padmaja. That's the feminine. So. But anyway, Lord Brahma is born on a lotus. He says, Bhava, Padmaja, Adivi, etc. So great personalities like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, he says, Rupam Vastutayo Pavaranditam. Vastutaya means factually. And Upavaranditam is to be able to explain or be able to describe. And the verse begins with Na. So even great persons like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot factually explain who Krishna is. And it takes some very severe, determined, I'm going to use the word effort, actually it's mercy, but effort to want to approach the personality of Godhead. And that effort is described by or indicated by maunena, by silence. Silence takes a lot of effort. It's not easy to shut up. It's very, very difficult to be silent. In fact, the urge to speak, as we hear from Rupa Goswami, is so strong. Have to say something. So maunena says bhaktya by devotional service, and third is upashamena. Shama means sense control. Upashamena, actually shama is also used for a controlled mind, dama and shama. So upashamena means one who has curbed the activities of the senses, material engagement. So these three, maunena, bhaktya, upashamena, pujita. So one who observes, I guess, these three vows or any one of these can see the Lord face to face, sakshat, or gets the ability to factually know the Lord. So one may say, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they're very controlled. They're very great personalities. Still, then the factor of Krishna's particular mercy in allowing someone to know him plays the main role. Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami tells us that our blunt senses are not capable, or we are not capable of seeing the Lord or understanding the Lord by the means of our blunt senses. Only from a mood of service beginning with the tongue pleases the Lord such that he may reveal himself. So how to know Krishna? Krishna has to allow it. From our side, the determination and the expression of the, desperation to know him is expressed as maunena, bhaktya, by silence, by vow of silence, the vows of bhakti, or the vow of upashamayana, giving up material activities. Then maybe Krishna has to reveal himself. Until then, it's not possible. So great personalities, and these are considered great not in this context, the greatness as devotees, but greatness as their position in the world, even they cannot factually understand. And this extreme, example is given because Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj that although Lord Shiva, one of the greatest personalities in the entire universe, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the very first person who received Vedic knowledge after 1,000 years of penance, who received all the Vedic knowledge in his heart, even he and great personalities like that cannot begin to fathom who Krishna is, and that self-same Krishna is living in your house, hanging out with you, that's the previous verse. And how is he with you? He's your well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, your heart and soul, your director, your spiritual master. He's with you every day. And the difficult thing to figure this out is all these great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva are constantly trying to meditate on Krishna to hold him or catch him for a moment in their consciousness. And that self-same Krishna every day is offering obeisances to Yudhishthira Maharaj, embracing Arjuna. But who can understand that? And this Krishna is the one who takes orders from Yudhishthira Maharaj and Arjuna. Ratham sthapayame achyuta. Ratham sthapayame in the Bhagavad Gita, when it's described, that first chapter where Arjuna says, take my chariot between the two armies. In Sanskrit, it is Ratham Sthapayame. So it's not, please, can you take my chariot? Or, please take my chariot. It is, take my chariot. It's an order. Krishna is introduced as the order carrier of his devotees. And Arjuna has the freedom to say to our Krishna, take my chariot. Such service, and Krishna stands outside the door as a guardsman. For when Yudhishthira Maharaj was inside the palace taking rest, that Krishna who's in your house doing menial service for you, washing the feet of all the guests who came to meet him, and he was the one who was welcoming people on behalf of Lord Yudhishthira Maharaj, etc. That personality is not some ordinary person. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva cannot even fathom who he is. Panthastu koti shata vatsara sampragamyo vayo rathapi manuso munipungavana. The great sages whose minds have been controlled by very, very severe austerities and penances, they're very pure. Even if their mind travels at the speed of wind, cannot catch Krishna for a moment. That Krishna is roaming around in your house. What does Arjuna say to Krishna in the 11th chapter? Oh, please forgive me. I thought you were someone ordinary. We used to, you know, sit on the same chair together, share the same plate. I would slap you on the back and say, hey Krishna, hey Yadava. I didn't realize who you are. This is Krishna's greatness. Queen Kunti, I've been reading that set of prayers. She begins, my dear Krishna, antar bahir avasthito, you are there within everything and you are there outside of everything. But na lakshase, no one can see you. You have this great, you're present everywhere, no one can see you. This is the greatness. Yet, when it comes to his own devotees, these very surrendered devotees, he says, you're very easily accessible. And that accessibility is something that Krishna gives. So we are aspirants. We are aspirants of accessing Krishna. And in this day and age, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that accessibility has been made very easy by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Sometimes we may not fully appreciate what that means, but what the great sages in previous ages, for thousands of years, sitting in one place without moving and controlling their breath, no eating, no sleeping, in fact breathing once in 15 days like Dhruva Maharaj did, and after thousands of years their meditation may or may not succeed. That same goal is given by or achieved by chanting Hare Krishna. Sometimes it's so easy that it is possible to doubt the efficacy of something. Really? Just by this? Yeah, just by this. What the great, great sages, with all their sense control, mind control, years of sadhana and being so strict, they cannot achieve. We have been gifted the possibility of accessing Krishna and seeing him face to face simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, we understand chanting Hare Krishna is not so easy, or chanting attentively is not so easy. But that's our effort. It's easier, or let's say this, if we consider this difficult, then any other process is impossible. Just not possible. So this is the contrast that Narada Muni is placing. In the previous verse, he says, he's in your house as your friend, as your guide, as your spiritual master, as your servant. And that same Krishna cannot be accessed by anyone. And the last line, it says, Prasidatam esha satvatam patihi. He has just finished, or almost actually finished. Next verse is Shukadeva Goswami speaking. So Shukadeva Goswami is narrating to Parikshit Maharaj a conversation Narada Muni had with his grandfather, Yudhishthir Maharaj. And they're discussing how the Lord is always protecting. That's the seventh canto. The Lord is very eager to protect. Satvatam pati. Pati quite literally means husband in colloquial sense. And here Prabhupada gives us the deeper meaning of the word pati. The maintainer, master and guide. And Sattvatampati means the maintainer, the master and guide of the devotees. So he says, Prasidatam, may Krishna be pleased. And may everyone feel the cooling mercy of Krishna's being pleased. And why is this statement here? Because Narada Muni has just narrated to Yudhishthira Maharaj a few chapters ago as part of a conversation the wonderful exchange between Prahlad Maharaj and Narasingadev. Narasingadev's very special way of appearing and giving benediction to Prahlad Maharaj. And interestingly, Prahlad Maharaj, after receiving the Lord's touch on his head and glorifying him with this fantastic set of prayers, 44 or 45 verses, 43 I think, Lord becomes very happy and says, well, let me offer you all these benedictions. And Prahlad Maharaj, in one sense, chides or chastises the Lord. What kind of a master is he who, gives all these, pampers his servant? I don't want to be such a servant. My life is being a servant to you and that's it. There doesn't have to be any exchange between us. I render you some service, then you will, compensate me with something. This is not nice. I don't want that. After narrating something so wonderful, the acharyas described that Yudhishthira Maharaj may feel, which is natural as a devotee, oh, how wonderful Prahlad Maharaj is. What a great devotee. And look at me. It's a natural humility that one always looks, if humility is properly situated and is there, then one looks at another devotee and thinks, how wonderfully he or she is serving Krishna. There is so much for me to do, my gosh. Wow, look at that devotee. And so Narada Muni very quickly also describes, yeah, that's true, but see, Krishna is in your house too. He's with you all the time. He appeared for Prahlad Maharaj, did this pastime, and then went away. But with you, Krishna's appeared as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his two-armed form, living with you. And when he had to leave Hastinapur, wants to go back to Dwaraka, he asks Yudhishthira Maharaj permission, the supremely independent personality, Swarat, asks Yudhishthira Maharaj, may I go home now? And what does Yudhishthira Maharaj's answer? Please stay a few more days. We are not satisfied by serving you. We want to serve you more. Okay. A few days pass by. Yudhishthira Maharaj, can I please go home now? No, please stay a few more days. Okay. Months on end, Krishna did not go home. Why? Because Yudhishthira Maharaj, please stay. We like to serve you. We are not satisfied. Even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to travel, he asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, may I please go? Oh, please stay a few more days. Even Advaita Acharya, please stay a few more days and then you can. That is the bond of affection is so strong that Krishna doesn't like to leave his devotees. Of course, and when he leaves, he heightens their affection for him. But it goes to show that although he's the supremely independent personality, he behaves and he interacts with his devotees in a very loving, personal way. And receives their service and offers them his love. So Narada Muni is saying, after hearing this narration of Prahlad Maharaj And then all these wonderful instructions of how to become, here it says instructions for civilized human beings. It's not instructions for civilizing human beings. It assumes that human beings are already civilized to grasp these teachings. It's already sort of given, you're civilized and therefore these teachings. Naturally, when these topics are discussed, Krishna is pleased. And Narada Muni is saying, may that, may Krishna be pleased by our discussion. So it's not a scholarly discussion. It's not an academic exercise. The focus between Narada Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj in their discussion is that may Krishna be pleased by this interaction. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, after instructing Yudhishthira Maharaj, Narada Muni prays for the Lord's blessings that he be pleased with everyone and that everyone become perfect in God consciousness and return home back to Godhead. So somewhere Narada Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj are speaking, but Narada Muni is praying for the benefit of, I guess, persons like us. That let people everywhere and everyone receive Krishna's grace. By discussing these topics, it allows for the general population to become benefited because the topics are about Krishna. So when we, I guess my appreciation is when we discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, although it sometimes is difficult for us to keep awake, it definitely has benefit far beyond the precincts of the temple building. Because this message is very potent, and when there is this discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam, every day, not just the persons in the room who are either speaking or hearing, but everyone around is benefited. But that's the desire and the aspiration. That this activity, one may wonder, is this activity beneficial in any way? It's not only beneficial at the individual level, it's beneficial at the social level. This activity of discussion of Bhagavatam and chanting Krishna's name is the greatest yajna for the benefit of everyone. So let's go back to the point in time. Kali Yuga was about to begin, and the great thinkers of the world, they all gathered at Naimisharanya. And the purpose was, Kali Yuga is coming and all the people are going to be in severe distress because their moral fabric is going to be completely torn apart. Any devotional sensibilities are going to be completely destroyed, and either they will only fall asleep or get intoxicated or destroy each other. They want to fight, and one wants to exert supremacy over another or others. They'll become severely competitive, and the competition would be such that for one to win, he may have to even kill another, or they will be fully in their drunken stupor, fully intoxicated, don't even know what's going on around them, and what is this human life will be wasted. And for progressively 432,000 years, this suffering is going to continue. Not for 1 year, 2 year, 1 month, 432,000 years, and it's going to become progressively horrible. We need to do something. What is it we should do? Let's gather at Naimisharanya, perform this wonderful yajna with chanting all these mantras and hoping that Lord Vishnu is pleased. Swaha, swaha. It's not some tiny fire. We did fire yajna the other day in someone's home. The host warned us like four times. Are you sure we should remove all the smoke, whatever, the smoke alarms, open all the windows? And I had to assure them, don't worry, the fire will be very, very small. It will be like a candle flame. And it was so small, I had to tell them, every time you do swaha and you put the grains, just put a few grains and don't, you know, extinguish the fire. This is Agnidev. So put somewhere in swaha every time. I did a lot of camphor to keep it going. Their fire pit was so big. All these great sages were performing yajna. And when they meet Suta Goswami, their faces were all black with that smoke. And they said, you know, we've done all this yajna. Well, that's what we're doing. And the only result we're getting is that our faces are becoming black. We're not sure if this is going to benefit the world. And they're not thinking what their relatives and friends, the entire population of the world. And Suta Goswami says, we should discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. So they pause what they're doing. They all gather to sit, to hear from him, Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, there's a whole narration. Lord Balaram comes there, kills Ramaharshana and all that. But then they discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. And they know that more than that yajna, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam actually has more benefit for the entire population. Not just human population, but the animals, the birds, the trees, the insects, every being will get benefited by thoughtful persons discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the potency of it. So they all gather. They want to hear. And they, here's the word upavarnitam. Upavarnita can be explained. Upavarnita, it can be explained because someone else has explained it. That's what it means. It's explained in disciplic succession. Without disciplic succession, upavarnita is not possible. It will only be speculation. So Suta Goswami is narrating what he heard from Shukadev Goswami. And Shukadev Goswami is narrating what he heard from Vyasadev. Vyasadev is narrating what he heard from Narada Muni. Narada Muni is narrating what he gathered from Lord Brahma. So upavarnitam, the realizations are being passed on and the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam is being felt or spread everywhere. Because Krishna appears in this age, in this sound vibration. His personal form of appearance has, I guess, just been wrapped up in Dvapara Yuga. And Krishna has appeared in the form of the sound vibration. So very accessible. And therefore, Narada Muni is saying, may Krishna be pleased and everyone be pleased by this narration. So whenever there's discussion of Krishna, not just the persons immediately in the discussion, but the surrounding, the environment, the atmosphere is surcharged. And it becomes pure because Krishna is present there. So Narada Muni understands it and he's appreciating and praying for Krishna to be pleased. And final point, this maunena, bhakti, upashamena are the three processes of jnana yoga, karma yoga and bhakti yoga. One may realize Krishna in progressive stages or different features of Krishna. So that's described here. But vastutaya upavarnitam, factually being able to describe, is possible when Krishna reveals himself in his full feature to the devotees who are engaged in the process of devotional service. So Prabhupada quotes this verse of Bhakti Amam Abhijanati. Yavan Yashtashmi Tattvataha. Tattvataha is in full truth about his existence. So his, yeah. So we're very fortunate to have somehow or the other come across the path of devotional service under Srila Prabhupada's tutelage, and by staying in the middle of the road of this process, we can be assured of Krishna revealing himself. Of course, it's not cheap, but far more accessible than any other method. All other methods, though very, very possible in one sense, they're not efficacious in this time and age. It's like if we say that, let's say a Columbia or whatever the brand may be, North Face winter jacket, right? Thick, whatever, it's padded. It keeps a person warm, correct? Is there any doubt? No, it keeps a person warm. If I wear it at 95 degrees heat, it's not serving its purpose. It's not the right time to wear it. It's like, they may be effective, but not this time. This is not the right time for it. Kriteyadhyayato Vishnu. That kind of method is in Satya Yuga. And Kalautad Hari Kirtana. In Kali Yuga, the right method is Hari Kirtana, chanting of Krishna's names. So this is the glorification of Narada Muni glorifying Yudhishthir Maharaj, of how fortunate he is that Krishna is staying in his house, acting like an ordinary person, when he is not understood even by great persons like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, etc. Any questions, comments? If none.
There are three questions. The first question is, in the prayers of Queen Kunti, you started with the verse Antar Bahir Avastitam. She started, it seems when I was reading this verse, it seems that it kind of a very impersonal verse, Antar Bahir Avastitam, and then she proceeds with the verse that he's acting like an actor dress, he cannot recognize the actor, and then she started being very personal, and then she says that, okay, the Munis also don't know, that's impersonal verse, and then say, what about the ladies? And then she becomes very personal that Krishna Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanayacha. That means she might be knowing, and then again she started being impersonal. Nama Pankaja Nabhai. So what I'm understanding from all this verse is that Queen Kunti knows that Krishna is a son of Yashoda as a coward boy in Vrindavan. But she is just praying externally, maybe something like that.
I didn't think like that when I first, and I've been reading it again and again, trying to, I guess, memorize the verses. How I appreciated it was not so much, although impersonal feature is acceptable in that sense. How I appreciated is that, my dear Krishna, you're everywhere. You're inside of everything, you're outside of everything. But she says, na lakshase mood drusha. Because we are mudhas. Mudhas is we are covered by ignorance to such a degree that although you're inside, outside, everywhere, the foolish, ignorant person cannot see you. And even if one sees you, one may not understand you. Why? Because you're in this actor's masquerade, or you're in this actor's makeup. And you act in such a way that even if someone sees you, they'll misunderstand you. They can't say, oh, this is the personality of Godhead. You know, you're roaming around. Nato natya dharo yata The makeup is so wonderful that if you're acting like an ordinary person stealing butter, whatever, we think, oh, it's a thief, butter thief. Or were you playing with the gopis and say, oh, what is this? Because you do it in such a way that your the reality, the factuality of who you are is not. And this the great munis, etc., cannot fathom. So how people like us, simple women, can understand.
Is of Naimisharanya, when they were doing the fire sacrifice. And they convinced in front of Sukhdev Goswami that we know that we are doing wrong. We are waiting for you. And then the words come from Nandana Sutatra. So it seems that they know what they are doing is totally wrong. Then why didn't they call the suitable candidate to speak in front of them? They just started with a smoke and flame.
Why didn't they call in the first place? I don't know. I guess I can appreciate it in one sense that, let's say someone is suffering or they're in some condition, rather than leave them suffering and say, wait for someone else to come, they're doing what they know, a first aid situation. You know, first aid may not be the best solution in the long run, but first aid is first aid. If someone's bleeding, you can put first aid. It's like more like that. But the real solution is they have to hear Bhagavatam, or Bhagavatam has to manifest them. So these yajnas, it's not like they don't have benefit. They have benefit. But they know that it doesn't have the benefit that Bhagavatam can have. It's just, they have to do, they're thoughtful persons there.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the disciplic succession, that this knowledge came from Krishna to Brahma, Narada to Vyas. Then when we're looking in Bhagavad Gita, it says that Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyas, then it's Padmanabh. Why it's not coming in a...
Not Padmanabh, Vyas and
Narhari,
Madhvacharya.
Madhva, then Padmanabha, then Narhari. So never in the Bhagavatam it's mentioned like that, that Vyas, then the, Vyas to Sukhdev, Sukhdev to Naimisharanya. You know, we are
what's the problem with that? It's not like out there in the world there's only one disciplic succession and that's ours. It's not like that. The Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada delineates that specific line. But a tree has many branches coming from the root. And many branches become sub-branches, twigs and little leaves. But they're all connected to the root if you can trace out that particular line. So Vyasadeva had many disciples. And each disciple then that particular line has a name.
Prabhupada didn't take the line of Shaunaka and Naimisharanya Rishi, he take a different line, maybe.
Well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has so many disciples. And we are followers of Prabhupada, so we are connected to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's line through Srila Prabhupada in this way. Someone else has, Bhaktisiddhanta has another disciple, and the devotee is connected to that personality, is connected to Bhaktisiddhanta that way. It's not like there's only one line, one disciplic succession, and somehow if that's not there, then no, there are other lines. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, Yoga Nashta Parantapa. That line is a whole different line. Coming from Vivaswan, Ikshvaku, Manu, Ikshvaku down there. And that line was broken. Anything else? Okay. Oh, yes, Mataji.
Nityananda Prabhu, the mention of the cessation of material activities, the vows of silence, and the performance of devotional service, they lumped together. So, is it that the three are lumped together because they very much interconnected with devotional service, or is it that, let's say particularly the first one raises a question in my mind because, you know, many vows are taken, like, you know, a vow of fasting. So the question is, are there the cessation of material activities and the vow of silence mentioned alongside devotional service because of the interconnection with devotional service, or is it that even if, say, a vow of silence is practiced, is still a form of worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I mean, just the vow of silence?
I mean, just keeping quiet, of course, is not spiritual in nature. But remaining silent for developing the inner self, it has a spiritual objective of searching for the truth, then it has value. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, we say that the first six chapters are the karma section, the last six chapters are the jnana section, the middle are the bhakti section, but together they are the transcendental sandwich. And jnana and karma become fully effective by the touch of bhakti. In that sense, it is maunena, bhaktya, and upashamena. These are valid methods. That's why they're spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. And among them, Krishna then highlights bhakti. Because by each method, one only reaches to certain degree of understanding the absolute truth. Maybe to Brahman, maybe to Paramatma. And the devotees understand the Bhagavan feature. So, these are valid. Prabhupada calls all of the ones in the seventh chapter or ninth chapter purport, all of them as transcendentalists. But the limit of their transcendental achievement is the features of Brahman or Paramatma. May not be Bhagavan. That. Yeah, and of course by the touch of bhakti, then each of these processes has its own, become even more meaningful. But independent of, in the sense that there are great munis who sit on the mountaintops and perform Ashtanga Yoga and the vow of silence. So they may realize Paramatma feature. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.